Encuentro Radio es periodismo, derechos, igualdad, dignidad, mujeres, inclusión, masculinidad, arte, expresión, libertad, esperanza, cultura, ecumenismo, literatura, historia y análisis. Pero en realidad somos una gran familia. Bienvenidos y bienvenidas a Encuentro Radio. Aquí comienza un programa de Encuentro Radio. Comunícate con nosotros a través de nuestro WhatsApp 302-521-2342.
From Colombia, the Philippines,
the United States,
Germany,
Kenya,
Austria,
we are bringing our voices together to reflect on gender and social justice.
A multicultural look in the mirror at our society.
Welcome to Mirror Voices.
Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Colombian time.
Brought to you by CEPALC and Encuentro Radio.
Can you hear me?
No, yeah.
Voices. Today I'm in the studio with Mariana and Hannah. How are you guys?
Hello.
I'm good. Like allergic a little bit because it's so cold, but I'm okay. I'm happy to be here.
I was about to bring out my face mask because I thought you had flu.
No, I'm okay. It just like for the cold, my nose is like kitchen a little.
It's good to know that we're safe in the station. Hannah, how are you doing?
I'm good. I had an odd moment this morning. I woke up. My alarm was going off. I was 100% convinced that it was Monday. And so then I was very confused when I went to turn off my alarm and my phone said Wednesday. I said, wait, what? And in that, like, half-awake state, you're just, like, very, very confused. But it's Wednesday and here we are.
Yeah. I'm happy that finally you got to no, that is Wednesday.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
we would have been like, where's Hannah?
I know.
And you would have been, oh, it's Monday. So we're happy to have you
but
here.
But it's not.
Yeah. Today, we have a special episode where we're going to be talking about Pride. So,
yay.
Happy Pride Month to all the rainbow babies and allies. We're with you. We're happy. We're excited. Who wants to go first?
Maybe me, because I'm going to talk about a little of the history and the homosexuality in Aze in Greece.
Sounds good.
So, we know a lot of writers like Platon, Aristoteles. I'm saying in Spanish because I don't say how to say
Pluto
the,
and
the name in English. But all these writers explore aspects of homosexual love in ancient Greece. The most homosexual relationship occur between an adult man and a young adolescent. It's not clear what happened with the homosexuality and the relationship between the women. So right now I'm going to talk more about the men, that it's like more information about that. So in Greek, the society give like a lot of importance to masculinity in adult men. And when they talk about the femininity, they talk like more relate with being penetrated in homosexual relationships. So, like have relationship between adult men of comparable social status were considered controversial and were usually accompanied of social stigmatization, I guess.
Stigma.
Yeah. So, one of the most known was Patroclus and Achilles. Seeing classical antiquity, interpretation have emerged about the possibility that a homosexual relationship exists between Achilles and Patroclus. Homer doesn't explicitly describe the relationship between them. But they trying to establish like a clear age difference between the two. So Homeric tradition suggests that Patroclus was older but Achilles was dominant. Other opinions consider that Achilles and Patroclus were just good friends. Obviously, for a lot of people, not like good listen this, because a lot of people believe that the homosexuality not exist just right now, and that's not true. The history proves other things. So I guess it's important talking about a little bit how is that in Greek, because it's one of the most places that the people talking about in the history. But obviously, if we talk a little bit about like the lesbian love, we can find Sappho, that it's a poet from Island of Lesbos, wrote numerous poems describing love between women and girls. The love in these poems is something reciprocate and something's not. Sappho is believed to have written some 12,000 lines of poetry about her love for other women, but just 600 lines have survived. So she's like a small symbol, like a love between women, but obviously we don't have like a lot of proofs because a lot of the poem disappear. But yeah, it's important that we know that in the history in general, there's like sexual relationship between women and men. And obviously, it's important to know that all these homosexual parties in the societies have like only talk before 19. That year,
1900s.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, for their religion and all this thing, they prefer not talking about that. And when the Alexandria Library born, there's a lot of things that explain more about the history disappear. So it's important to know that in the history, a lot of years ago, the homosexuality exists. Mm-hmm. And that's all that I have for today.
Yeah, the like our understanding of sexuality has not always been the same throughout history.
Yeah.
As much as people try to say, like, no, it's always, you know, between a man and a woman, and that's how, you know, it's natural and meant to be, and how it's always been, how it should always be, it's just not accurate. It's just not true.
Yeah.
True. Yeah, there's lots of examples from ancient times of same-sex couples, of a different understanding of sexuality in general.
Yeah.
Even in the Bible as well. So when people say it's like, oh, it's these like liberal agenda, these woke kids that are changing or making people gay, it's like, no, people have always been gay. There's always been gay people. There's always been gay people. So we're just catching up with the times.
Yeah, and I guess there's a lot of people that believe in the indigenous community a lot of years ago, before that the Spain come here, in specifically in the Andes, we have like a community that calls something tercer género.
Mm-hmm.
That was the person that have all the intelligence in that group and not need to be recognized like a man or like a woman, just a person that have the information for all the group. Mm-hmm. But right now, if you talk about that, it's like, that's really, but that's not good, that's not normal. It's like, mm-hmm. but that's the history.
Mm-hmm.
Like before, obviously, we have all the chain that when the Spain come here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I guess it's important talking more about the history, obviously, not just in Greece. Obviously, we have more information in Latin America, in Mexico, in other parts that they talk about how a lot of years the people live free.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. What really struck my interest was the edge thing, where you mentioned that Icarus and the other guy had like a very huge age gap,
yeah.
Which I think is actually something interesting, because normally we see that it's mostly accepted when it's like heterosexual partners, but when it's like the gay community, people be like, but she looks like your mother, or she looks like your sister, or whatever. But it's there, and people have different preferences, and people that they feel comfortable dating. So I thought it was interesting learning that this did not just start recently, but it goes way, way back to the 1900s. Thank you so much, Mariana. I think we're going to go to song, and we'll be right back. But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned how. I should have
So fast forwarding a little bit in our timeline from ancient Greece and some of the history that, you know, homosexuality and diverse sexuality understanding has been around forever. Maybe you've heard kind of this year a theme for a lot of the Pride celebrations, Pride marches, protests, parades, you know, a whole variety of activities. Mm-hmm. A lot of people this year have been using the motto or the slogan, nothing to cure.
Okay.
And that is, especially in Colombia, in big part because of some legislation, a proposed bill to put an end to what is commonly called conversion therapy.
Oh, yeah, my friend is making a post about that.
Sí, terapias de conversión.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Pride is often used as like a celebration, which I think is really important, obviously. It's also, at the same time, there's often, I know in Bogota, there's the like counter march of talking about all of the things that we still need to fight. We can't just like celebrate and say, yay, okay, we're good. Mm-hmm. There's equality, you know, there's recognizing that there's still a lot of work to be done. And I think this is part of that. Pride celebrations are so important because LGBTQ people are still persecuted, violated, told they are sinners or less than because of their sexual orientation or gender expression. And a prime example of that is the fact that things like conversion therapy still exist in most of the world. Only a few countries have really fully banned it. And even in places where it's supposedly banned, there are still people that practice it or that still do it. So what is conversion therapy? It's a misnomer because it's really not therapy. Psychologists and the scientific community are pretty much in agreement that it is not therapy. It is not scientifically based. It's basically an attempt using often cruel practices, considered torture, to basically make someone to change their sexual orientation or their gender identity or gender expression. Mm-hmm. Conservative religious belief that gay people are possessed or have demons or there's a gay spirit that is afflicting them. Some people are forced into conversion therapy. Others make a decision to go through it because they have this internalized homophobia, often from their families or from their churches, that as they, you know, grow up and the church is maybe part of their community where they feel safe, where they feel, you know, have friends and family, and then as they grow older into, you know, puberty and start feeling attraction for people and realize that they may have attraction to people of the same sex or the same gender, and then feel like there's something wrong with them and then feel like there's something not right about having those feelings and seek conversion therapy or seek these kinds of programs, which is really unfortunate, really sad, really difficult. Because there really isn't anything to cure. Conversion therapy is often, there are different types. So there's the exorcist rituals of like trying to get this evil spirit out of you.
Yeah.
There's aversion therapy, which is trying to give like negative associations to that kind of feeling of attraction for people. Mm-hmm. So I have personal friends who have gone through this kind of therapy and talk about they were told to, starting from the language of not being lesbian or homosexual, but suffering from like a disease. So this idea that it's some kind of disease, I suffer from same-sex attraction kind of language. And then being told, like, if you have these feelings for another woman, that you should like hit yourself or practice forms of self-harm as a way to get your brain to associate that attraction with something negative. And obviously you can imagine the damage psychologically that yes. something like that does. There's also some forms of this practice that include electric shocks of like also hooking up the brain to be able to see different areas of activity. Mm-hmm. And when, you know, different parts of the brain kind of light up or become active associated with attraction, receiving an electric shock to try to get their brain to stop having that having that very natural reaction. And many other practices that are both psychologically and physically very damaging. The UN and the International Rehabilitation Council for Torture Victims and many, like I said, of the scientific community agree that these practices are considered torture, that they go against human rights, they are considered hate crimes, that they are not helpful to anybody, really. Colombia, this is kind of good news, but also frustrating when we get to the end. Colombia is currently in the process of debating a bill that would ban conversion therapy.
Yeah.
Or what it, since we know that calling it therapy is a misnomer, it's usually called, the English translation would be forced change of sexual orientation and gender identity and expression, because Colombia loves a long title.
Okay.
So in Spanish, it's the acronym ECOSIEG, ECOSIEG. So there is currently kind of, or a little while ago, there was discussions on passing this bill that would ban conversion therapy or ban this forced change. About 22% of LGBTQ Colombians have been subjected to these practices.
Yeah.
Most under 20 years old. So it's often young people as they're kind of starting to explore their sexuality and starting to explore who they are as an identity. It also leads to, this is also why we see, part of why we see a higher rate of suicide in young LGBTQ people.
Okay.
Of having this belief that there must be something wrong with me for feeling the way that I feel. And I can't, as hard as I try to change, as hard as I try to get rid of these feelings, they don't go away. Obviously, because it's natural. But feeling like there's something wrong with that nature and not being able to change it causes a lot of depression and thoughts of suicide in young LGBTQ people. This bill to defend human rights and dignity. And of course, there are opponents that argue that it will interfere with religious rights. Myself, as a Christian and a missionary with the United Methodist Church, who recently, very happy to say, decided to get rid of all of the discriminatory language against LGBTQ people, I'd say if your interpretation of the Bible or of God incites violence, incites war, incites torture against any group of people, I think that's heavily misguided, and you might want to revisit that theology and see what it is that you're really following. The bill is called, like in English, unchangeable, inconvertible, and a lot of people are using that slogan, nothing to cure, nada que curar. In these demonstrations and in a lot of the publicity and slogans and protest signs for Pride this year. So the bill includes the following: to first prohibit forced change of sexual orientation and gender identity and expression. Second, to prohibit diagnosing sexual orientation, gender identity, and expression as disorders. Third, guarantee differentiated psychosocial care for LGBTQIA+ people. Also, scientific training for health professionals on sexual orientation, gender identity, and expression. You know, actual scientific training, which is not what conversion therapy is. Prohibit the use of public funds to promote these practices. prohibit advertising both inside and outside the health system, and prohibit massive events that promote these practices. The surveillance of state and municipal entities for the prevention, so keeping, you know, the government accountable for upholding these promises, and to criminalize these practices with circumstances of punitive aggravation to the crimes of personal injuries, acts of discrimination, and torture. Considering most entities agree that it is hate crime and discrimination and torture, to treat it as such and to be penalized as such. Yeah. The bill has been delayed due to what they call lack of political will, with politicians either failing to show up for debates or refusing to debate, which is really frustrating considering politicians, their job is to serve the community, serve the people they represent. So really frustrating to see that not enough showed up for quorum, for in order to have the debate, in order to have the discussion, you need a certain amount of people. And so the discussions have kind of been tabled or will hold off until the next legislative cycle. And I think this is also why the grassroots movements and community organizing is really important, to like not lose momentum, to really push politicians to uphold their end of their job, to discuss and to legislate and to make these changes, because I think it's far too easy for people to get like kind of lose momentum, and then the politicians don't fulfill their promises, their duty. So it's really important for communities to continue to push their representatives to at least discuss, to make changes, to at least show up to the debates. Similar laws exist in Canada, Brazil, Malta, Germany, Ecuador, and Argentina. Unfortunately, the U.S., as always, it depends on what state you live in. there are, even aside from the different state laws, there are people that practice this type of not therapy in almost every single state, unfortunately. So the U.S. is also still pretty behind on that.
I remember this one time I was watching a series. I think it was Ratched, where it was like a home for people who had mental health issues and stuff like that. And then, like, the mayor was giving a special fund so that people who were, like, homosexual can go for conversion therapy. Like, I remember there was this one husband who caught his wife with another woman, and then he sent her there. And then part of the torture was, like, they'd put her in a big bath, like a bathtub, and then they'd fill it with water, and then they would close it shut so that no matter what she does, she cannot get out. And then they'll turn the temperature up to like 100 degrees, like boiling. They'd literally boil her for some time. And then after that, they'll take that water out, and then they'll put ice cubes in the top. It was so scary and so terrifying. And then the southern nurse was also confused about her sexuality, was the one who actually helped her and lied to the, like, the supervisors that, oh, she's changed. Like, now when we show her pictures of women, she's, like, disgusted and stuff like that. And then she went back home with the husband. And I think after 2 months, the husband caught her again in an uncompromising situation, and she was sent back to that home. It was so sad to watch something like that. That's when I knew about conversion therapy, and it was really sad and painful that there are people who do such things because they are scared of the unknown. They don't want to admit that this is normal and it's there.
Yeah, and it's not something that can be changed. So people often either kind of lie as a self-protection of like, no, I'm cured. You know, it's a miracle. Kind of closing the door in the closet and like locking themselves in the closet forever as a way to survive. Or unfortunately, a lot of people commit suicide because they don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
So especially in the when it comes to religion, mm-hmm. I remember like back home in my church we have these like camps where we go out in the forest-ish like mm-hmm. setting, and then we like pray and spend a couple of days away from home and from technology and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I remember this one time, my mother was telling me about a guy who his mother brought him, saying, "Oh, he tells me that he's interested in men, and I think it's like there's something terribly wrong with them." Mm-hmm. And then they like prayed for him, and then they were like, "Oh, we've cast out the evil spirits of homosexuality and stuff like that." And then the following year, my mom was telling me that this guy was literally brought 3 times at this event mm-hmm. for them to like pray, because they'll be like, "Oh, for now it's gone, but it came back." Mm-hmm. And then it's gone, and then it came back, to the extent that this one year she was like, "Oh, this year the mother and the son didn't show up. Probably he was cured or something mm-hmm. along those lines." But I think probably he was frustrated with the whole thing, yeah. especially his mom having to drag him to this shush things and this pastors praying. You know mm-hmm. how it is, like when pastors are casting out demons and stuff like that, how traumatizing yeah. that is. Yeah. I'm sure to some extent he was like, "I cannot with this anymore. I'll just have to be in the closet. And when I'm yeah. home, I have to pretend that mm-hmm. everything is fine and going well and stuff like that," which is realistically like the reality mm-hmm. of most Africans, especially in my home country, where people aren't able to like come out and embrace who they are. We don't even celebrate Pride. We mm-hmm. don't even have Pride marches. We yeah. don't have anything, yeah. which is why I'm literally excited that for this June,
yes.
I'm in Colombia, and yeah. on the 30th of June, yay. I'm going to watch. I'm so excited for
You're
that.
You're going to have fun. That's something that
I cannot wait. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait. And people are saying it's going to be like a huge experience. Yeah. And I was like,
it's like a big moment here in Bogota. Actually, talking about the converse therapy, that's something important that the people need to understand, that the discussion, it's right now, it's just a project mm-hmm. to trying to find a law.
Yeah.
So if, suppose they talk, and they gonna try to have this for a month, if not mm-hmm. war, they not gonna put this law, like, mm-hmm. like in function. Mm-hmm. If not, the conversion therapy is gonna happen. So it's important because the people believe when we said proyecto de ley, mm-hmm. that's how we say in Spanish, it just because they're gonna start like a law in the first moment, and that's not true.
Mm-hmm. It's a process.
Yeah, it's all a process, obviously, yeah. That the government and they need to prove that it working more in the big cities, that mm-hmm. it's more, you know, like Bogota, Medellin, Cali, Barranquilla. If not work, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's a project because mm-hmm. these people believe that it's going to be a law right now, and that's not true.
Yeah, it's a quite slow process in order to create
so
laws.
Slow.
So it's still kind of in those stages, but yeah. we hope to see that it will continue and advance.
Yeah.
Even recognizing that even if it does become law, that doesn't mean that it just magically stops
right.
happening.
Yeah. True, true.
I do always want to mention, and I know I've mentioned it before, if you do feel, if you are in like a religious community, a church that does not accept your sexuality or your gender identity, and you are in this kind of situation that we're talking about of feeling like there's something wrong with you, that there's you need a cure or something, I do want to say there are other communities, there are other churches, there are affirming communities that will not only accept and include people who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, trans, queer, everything, every yeah. identity, but also affirm that identity fully. So they do exist. I'm part of them. I've seen them. Happy to support them. So you don't have to feel like, you know, it's your faith or your identity. You don't have to choose. You can be both. And that is certainly okay. to go out and find a community that accepts you.
Thank you so much, Hannah. We're going to go to another song break and we'll be right back with you. Festivities of Pride. As we're coming to the end of Pride, I thought I would bring something which I thought it was new for me, but I don't know if how many of our listeners know that July is Disability Pride Month. So this idea came about because over the years it has been noted that Pride events and LGBTQIA plus spaces can be isolating for people with disabilities. Like, they are not able to participate much because, for example, if they like marches and there are a lot of people who are walking, and then we have people living with disabilities who are part of the community and want to participate but are unable to do so. And so, as a result of this, there was introduced Disability Pride Month, which is in July. And the theme for 2024 is We Want a Life Like Yours. So, a little bit about the history. On July 26, 1990, President George H.W. Bush signed the Americans with Disability Act into law. Each July is celebrated as Disability Pride Month in commemoration of this historic moment. But technically, people started celebrating Disability Pride Month in 2015. So what does it mean? It celebrates people with disabilities, their identities, their culture, and their contributions to society. It also seeks to change the way people think about and define disability, to end stigma of disability, and to promote the belief that disability is a natural part of human diversity, in which people living with disabilities can celebrate and participate in pride. It's also a chance for people with disabilities to come together and celebrate themselves, no matter their differences. It's also a chance to raise awareness of the challenges they still face every day to be treated equally. So right now I'm going to talk a little bit about the flag. They actually have their own flag. Mm. So the flag represents the rights of people living with disability. The flag has a background color, which is black. And there are 5 parallel lines of different colors running in a zigzag pattern. The black background stands for mourning for the violence that the disabled community has faced and their protest against it. The other 5 colors, red, blue, white, yellow, and green, stand for different experiences of disabilities and the zigzag pattern, because these colors are not just straight stripes. They're like a zigzag kind of design. The zigzag pattern stands for how the community needs to navigate difficult barriers that affect them in their daily lives. So countries that celebrate currently, that celebrate Disability Pride, include the UK, South Africa, England, Germany, New Zealand, Norway, Switzerland, South Korea, and Australia. I thought this was something interesting to share since we're talking about Pride, because I also didn't know that it existed up until now. Mm-hmm. And I realized in a way it actually makes sense, because if we take a look at it, aside from Pride and them being part of the community, their lives are difficult already because there are areas that they would want to use but they cannot for lack of accessibility. Mm-hmm. And they are also victims of stigma. I remember I was reading an article about this young lady who was saying, for me it was difficult to accept my sexuality because in my mind I was like, I'm already facing stigma because I'm disabled, I'm living with disability. To then bring another part of me into this equation was very difficult. And I've noticed when I was reading a bit about it that a lot of people who are living with disabilities do not really know that they have their own month to celebrate their pride. And some of them don't feel comfortable or confident to celebrate their pride. So as other members of the community, what we can do is we can support them, we can celebrate with them, and just be there for them so that they know that there's nothing wrong with the people they are, the type of people they are. We love them, we embrace them, and we wish there were so many things we could do for them to feel comfortable and also celebrate their pride like everyone else does in June.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing we talk about often is intersectionality of, like, a lot of our different identities intersect, which is why I think our feminism has to be, you know, queer and disability friendly and anti-racist and, you know, layers of things, because people aren't just one thing.
That is true.
So there are a lot of, those overlapping identities where people can feel even more and more and more marginalized because of those different layers of their identity. And we have to make sure that there's room in our activism, there's room in our work for all of these identities.
True. We definitely have to make sure that no one is left behind.
Exactly.
that we try to accommodate everyone and everything that we do. Because if we claim that we are comfortable with people of different communities, we're embracing pride, we're celebrating the milestones of pride, mm-hmm. but we're actually leaving a certain community behind, that is not okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
Shall we go to one more song or say goodbye now?
We could go to a song and then we'll give final words and goodbyes to our lovely listeners.
Okay, we'll be right back.
I could eat that girl for lunch as she dances on my tongue. Tastes like she might be the one. And I could never get enough. I could buy her so much stuff. It's a craving, not a crush. Huh?
To say our goodbyes. Unfortunately, you know, when you hear a program is an hour long, you'll be like, oh, that's a lot of time. But before you know it, we're at the end and we have to say our goodbyes. We would have really loved to talk more about this and share more, but unfortunately, our time has run out. Chicas, any final words for listeners?
Yeah, the first thing is I want that you celebrate. Yeah. Please, it's amazing. I'm not sure if I'm gonna go, but okay. When I'm go, I'm so happy. It's like a big party for everyone. So I hope that you enjoy it.
Oh,
it's your first.
You.
And the other one, it's I hope that here in Colombia, finally the conversion therapy finish and close everything because it's so difficult. You can find different people talking about the experience that they survive the conversion therapy, but also there's people that said that the religion saved their lives and that's how they stand to be part of the LGBT community. Mm-hmm. So that's something that not helped the community. Mm-hmm. And that's like people that... famous just a little bit, so that's something that it's continuing to help in the community.
Yeah.
Understood. Hannah?
I I think there's definitely reason to celebrate and to, you know, celebrate in the streets and be, you know, open. Also, a lot of things to continue fighting for, and a reminder to open spaces for more diverse voices, even within the LGBTQ community. It's not, you can't even, we often lump all of those letters in together, but it's not just one identity or one expression or one way of life or one type of relationship. You know, there's a lot of diversity even within what we often clump together as one, just, oh, the LGBTQ community, but recognize the diversity in all of those identities. And so happy Pride. Keep fighting for those rights. And thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Phoebe.
Thank you so much, Phoebe.
And whoever else is listening that didn't send us a message, you're always welcome to. And we'll talk to you again next week, I guess.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, everyone, for being in the studio with us. Thank you so much to our listeners. And, well, I'm going to manifest. You'll all have to help me to manifest this into the universe that on Sunday we'll have amazing weather. Because at the end of the day, it's Bogota.
The bride is
going to
be there.
Yeah, I'm just hoping it'll be like maybe sunny and we get to have fun. And, you know, even though I'm not good with makeup, I'm really going to try to have like all the colors of my face.
Yeah.
Because I'm so excited.
A good makeup, please.
But anyways, thank you so much, everyone. Join us next week, same time, same place, same amazing ladies in the studio. Until next time, bye.
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 Don't hear me. 6'6" piston, tiptoe kisser, cat call kitten, whole milk licking, deep my vision, rainbow smitten. It's easy, baby, got the whole world for the picking. You can be my lover, cause love looks better in color.
Yo no voy a avergonzarme de